Revelation 18,
and I want to maybe give you a little, with all of these details, I mean, my goodness, chapters 2 and 3, we were dealing with letters to churches, and then it got convoluted from there. You have to keep track of, okay, throne room is chapter 4 and 5, seals, chapter 6, 7, 8, there's some interludes in there, but trumpets, 8 and 9. You know, the two witnesses, or the seven thunders and the seventh trumpet are in chapter 10. The two witnesses, chapter 11. You got that dragon and you got the war in heaven in chapter 12. Chapter 13, you got the two beasts. Chapter 14, we have the six angels. And then another showing of the 144,000. Chapter 15, we have the seven bulls, 15 and 16. And then in 17 and 18, we have this destruction of this great city, Babylon. A city that, if you hold to the fact that the revelation is going to happen yet in the future, okay, here's a city, at least it's called a great city. Where is it called that? Chapter 17, verse 18. It's called a great city, this Babylon. And we're going to read the entirety of chapter 18, but I'd like to do paragraphs at a time to help us keep moving. So I'll read verses 1 through 3, and then I'd like someone to read 4 through 8. Who'll do that? Okay, thank you, Pastor Zach. 9 and 10, who's got that? All right, thank you, Denny. 11 through 18, who can do that? All right, thank you, Tim. 19, all right, Chris, 20, a different paragraph. Thank you, Hazel. And then I need someone to finish up with 21 to 24. Who will do that?
I can.
Sue? Thank you. All right, let's begin. Chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. And you're going to see that language again. It happens in chapter 9. It'll happen again in chapter 20. John is seeing lots of angels come down from heaven. Okay? And the earth was illuminated with his glory. What kind of angel is this? That the whole earth is illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All these churched up sort of kiddie terms, huh? So this is, again, this is symbolic of the conduct of a city. Drinking the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury.
Kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come.
Merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys harvest anymore. Harvest of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth. Every sort of citron wood and article of every kind, and of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Harvest of cinnamon and spice, of incense, of myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. And they will say, the fruit you long for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand afar off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. In 1 hour, and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, was there ever a city like this, great cities?
And they cast the dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate.
Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged her on you on her.
Yes,
then a mighty angel picked up a huge rock. It was the size of a large millstone. He threw it into the sea. Then he said, this is how the great city of Babylon will be thrown down. Never again will it be found. The songs of musicians will never be heard in you again. Gone will be the music of harp, flute, and trumpet. No worker of any kind will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voices of brides and grooms will never be heard in you again. Your traders were among the world's most important people. But your magic spell, all the nations were led down the wrong path. You were guilty of the murder of prophets and God's people. You were guilty of the blood of all who have been killed on the earth.
Well, I like the way that reads. What version do you have again?
Limited English.
Limited English? It's an LEV?
NIV.
NIV. Okay. All right. Thank you. I thought it was LEV. All right. Okay, so this is probably, some might read through this and think, when does it pick up? Next chapter. Next chapter is when it picks up. We have four more chapters after this one, and it's going to change tones here in a hurry. All right, so last week we have a recording, if you need to reference it, but we asked last week, is this going to be a real resurrection of the old city Babylon? We're not going to talk about that again. What I do want you to see is that it is a great city. You do also need to see that it is situated on waters that keeps coming up. Now, in chapter 18, for example, in verse number 19, it has people on ships observing the smoke of this city. So when you realize that, let's just say you think the earth is flat, okay? You realize that the furthest you can see, even on a flat plane on the Earth's surface, is about 35 miles. So there are no large bodies of water carrying ocean freighters within 35 miles of the ancient site of Babylon. So that's a major argument that this is, that we're going to see ancient Babylon rebuilt. So I wouldn't look for that. I would look for a city that, like Isaiah speaks of, almost everything here, is a quotation out of Isaiah. So I would be looking for a city of some kind that is influential on the earth. Now, before we go on, let's just get right into it. That sheet that I gave you shows you a good way for you to kind of, maybe a fixed point of reference in the book of Revelation, because chapters 17 and 18 deal with a city. All right, chapters 21 and 22 deal with a city. All right, so let's just look at a few of these comparisons. In chapter 17, verse 1, Babylon is called the Great Harlot. In chapter 21, verse 9, what is the other city called? What'd you say?
New Jerusalem.
What is it? Yeah, what else is it called in contrast to what the other city was called?
Bride.
It's called the bride, the Lamb's wife. So one city is called the harlot, the other city is called a bride. So right away, you should be seeing that we have these two cities being compared. They have a lot in common. And they're both called a great city as well. You might notice, fifth from the bottom, Babylon is called a great city in the last verse of chapter 17. And the New Jerusalem is called a great city in chapter 21 and verse 10. Take a look at it. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, I don't think I made reference to it, but one city comes out of heaven. The other city is judged from heaven. Remember that millstone being thrown down by the angel that came out of heaven? So if you'll take the time to kind of consume this little visual aid, for lack of a better term, you're going to find out that, that this might be a good way for you to keep track of the last half of the book of Revelation is you have a comparison of two cities, Babylon and the New Jerusalem. Another thing that's kind of strange is the litany of things that are not in the cities. For example, take a look at chapter number 18, and you might notice in verse number 11, merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, all right, beginning in verse 12. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of, and so forth. Where are they? They are no more being bought there. And then later in the chapter, you might notice verse number 22, there's not going to be found any more harpists, musicians, flutists. So no music, no light, no weddings, nothing pleasant.
Okay.
Do you see this? How chapter 18 ends? A list of things that are pleasant that will not be found in that city. Whereas, when you go to New Jerusalem, and you take a look at chapter number 21, and you see a list of awful things that will not be found in that city. In chapter 21, particularly verse number 3, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They'll be his people. God himself will be with them, be their God. Verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, where are these people? Verse 1 tells us they are going to be in the New Jerusalem. Verse 2, rather. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. So, whereas one of the cities is on earth and being judged from heaven, the other city is coming down to earth from out of heaven. One city is known as a harlot. The other city is known as a wife. One city does not have good things in it. The other city does not have bad things in it. Particularly, verse number 4, no more crying, death, sorrow, tears, pain. Do you see it? And then you take a look at chapter 22, we're still talking about this other city. I think it's really helpful that there's two chapters per city. Look at 22 verse 3. You know, it's really going to be a lot of fun to read through this. There will be no more curse. In verse number 4, they shall see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. Verse 5 is especially good. There'll be no night there, no lamp nor light of the sun. And I think one that I forgot to make note of in my notes, I want to write it down here quick before I forget, is chapter 21 and verse number 1. Look how it finishes. 21:1. See how it finishes there. What else is not in the city? No more sea. Jenny, you asked about that probably 6 months ago. And we talked about it briefly. Okay, so hopefully you can see that I'm not just making this up. This is really handy skeleton for you to hang the book of Revelation on. It ends with a comparison between two cities. And what is shoved in between them? Chapters 19 and 20, judgment of those, for lack of a better term, lived on the earth. And they're put away. Boy, I can't wait to get to the end of chapter 20 and 21. There's a lot of stuff I want to show you there. But some other neat things are, look at the middle of your sheet, you'll notice on the left column, about halfway down, I'll just pick another one here, kings of the earth. Do you see that? Yeah. Well, chapter 17, verse 2, what are the kings of the earth doing with this harlot city? They are committing fornication with the harlot city. What are the kings of the earth doing with the wife city of chapter 21, verse 24? They're bringing their glory to it. All right, so that should really introduce a lot of questions to you You should be thinking, whoa, hang on. First of all, how do you have people that are alive that are not in that city by this time? And you should be thinking about this. At the end of chapter 21, who in the world is saved but not living in the city? Or are they saved? Or are these people that live on the new earth? Why are they kings of the earth? And why are they all of a sudden changed in their behavior? They were committing fornication with Babylon. Now they're bringing gifts to New Jerusalem. You have to make some choices interpretively there whether or not it's a different group of kings on a different earth. Because what happens in 21:1? We have a new earth. So we have new heaven. Yeah, so there's new everything and probably new kings on the new earth who are not a part of this time and so don't belong in the New Jerusalem. Well, since we're going to dive into that, let's take a look at the end of chapter 20. I love that question. Where in the world did they come from? The end of chapter 20, I'm pretty sure when you look at verse 10, I quoted this verse, I think, Sunday morning, but verses 11 through 15, you know, we've already talked about this book of life. You should have been, listening the last 6 months now or so. To remember, we cannot find anywhere in Scripture where names are written in the book after the foundation of the world. 13:8, 17:8, we've already talked about this. So you have people whose names are not in the book, and where are they put? Verse number 15. Lake of Fire. Okay, yeah, thank you. Now, you might notice verse 11. I saw a great white throne. Him who sat on it, from whose face, look there, earth and heaven fled away. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Now, earth and heaven are not mentioned again until what verse, Leah? Do you see it? Mm-hmm. Earth and heaven are found again in what verse next?
Earth. 21:1.
So we have the old one leaving in 2011. We have the new one coming in 21:1. Do you see that?
What was the verse where they're leaving?
2011. I saw a great white throne, him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, Peter uses different language. He says that they melt, 2 Peter 3, 11-ish. Hebrews 1 says that God folds them up like a garment, puts them in a drawer. I think it's Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. So the point is, the earth you're sitting on right now is going to leave in chapter 20, verse 11. Now, think through this with me. I probably won't teach this again. Maybe we will. It's a lot of fun. So the old one is gone, 2011. The new one comes in 21:1. What does that lead you to believe about verses 12 through 15 of chapter 20? Well, I mean, I think the better sense here is to read it consecutively.
Okay.
We don't really know how much time. And remember, we can't keep track of time if there's no earth or sun. If there's no heavens, no earth, we can't keep track of time. How do we keep track of time? Because of the revolving earth and the rotating sun. Right? So if there ain't none, then we don't have time. Which is why we say there was no time before creation. Because we keep track of time through the earth's movement in relation to the heavenly body's movement. So, but there is no time going on right here.
Well, it sounds
so why
consecutive.
Is this?
What'd you say?
It sounds consecutive because
right.
you've got the dead, fallen, grave, standing before mm-hmm. God. Books were open. Another book was open. And there was judgment. And then the sea gave up the dead. And then death and hell delivered up the dead.
Right.
And they were judged. And then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. That was the second death.
So if you were to describe places, locations, geographies, specific geographies, what do you have between 2011 and 21:1? You have Lake of Fire. That is a place. What else do you have?
The judgment throne.
The throne. That's two. Yeah, okay. Maybe the sea, supposing that it gave up its dead after the earth fled away. But we definitely have two. We have the throne, and we have the lake of fire, and it appears...
Hell is in it too.
Right. And there's a discussion there. But it appears we have at least two geographies, and we'll talk about that when we get to the verses. The difference between hell and the lake of fire. Yeah, there's a difference. So, right away, now get this, we're in a, for lack of a better term, a time where there's no current creation. It has left the building. All of Genesis 1 is gone. When? Chapter 20, verse 11. Chapter 21, 1, it comes again. New heaven, new earth. But in between, we have nothingness with a throne of God and the lake of fire. Now, take that in, huh?
Awesome.
Nothingness. It would be like before creation.
How long is that nothingness?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we don't know because there's no way to keep track of time when there's nothing. So, if that's true, then all of a sudden we realize that there are many people and a throne and Christ and there's this lake of fire. Now, there's a book and there's books. So we have the book of life. I got to hurry. We're stressed on time here. We got the book of life, and those whose names aren't in it are put in the lake of fire. Next scene, new heaven, new earth. We already talked about it at the end of 21:1, there's no more sea. That is on purpose by John. Because Genesis began, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So right away in Genesis 1:2, you have a water-covered earth. No land appears till day 3. So this is a play on that language. New heaven, new earth, no sea. So it's unlike Genesis 1, but it's like Genesis 1. It's like Genesis 1 in that there's a new heaven, new earth. It is unlike Genesis 1 in that there's no sea covering the earth. Okay? So, Tim. Here we are 10 minutes later. I think these kings of the earth, I think it makes sense that if you have a new heaven and a new earth, you have new kings of the earth. Now, Tim, that's a guess. I don't know where these kings of the earth are coming from. There is a second option. The second option is that the book of Revelation, like the rest of Revelation, is kind of overlapped. In this future time known as the millennium, the New Jerusalem is in fact hovering over the earth, and the kings of the earth in that millennial reign on the earth are able to visit the New Jerusalem. That is the other interpretive choice about where these kings of the earth come from. They are not the kings of the earth that have been destroyed with Babylon at Armageddon. They are the kings of the earth that made it through that into the millennium and are now free to visit the New Jerusalem. Those are really two decent interpretive choices. One's a little less wacky than the other.
None of those kings or people that are there have survived and came up from the dead and sea and all those places. They were all from the lake of fire.
So it seems. Well, again,
all of them, or is that...
if we take the first interpretive choice, which is that these kings were created after the people are thrown into the lake of fire, then your answer is yes. They were not thrown in the lake of fire. They were created afterwards. Stay on, Bill. The other thing is that if we're going to pick the second interpretive choice, and that is that's the New Jerusalem coming down during the millennium, and the kings of the earth who are ruling during the millennium are free to visit the New Jerusalem, then the answer to your question is no. We haven't had the lake of fire judgment yet. That happens after the 1,000 years, according to chapter 20. It says in 21:24 that they bring their gifts to the New Jerusalem. Yeah.
So why do we seem to take this literal, where everything else is more like a sign?
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for that can of worms, my dear brother. It you know I love you. It appears that is exactly why there are people who do not take these chapters literally. I choose to. Perhaps it's because I'm terrified not to. But the reality is, there are people that believe that the New Jerusalem is a picture of the church.
No.
Just like, well, that is a choice. And there are people that love their Bibles who believe it. That there are 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem are, each of them, named after an apostle. And Paul says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles. So there are reasons to believe the, might be called historicist or preterist view of Revelation, where the New Jerusalem is nothing but a description or a sign of the New Testament church. So there, I have a lot of problems with that. And so that is why I choose to take it literally. One of the problems I have is that Jesus said that he was preparing the city that we're seeing in Revelation 21 and 22, right?
When did he say that?
Well, John 14. It's, I go to prepare a place for you, right? If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself.
Yeah, that's a city? I thought he was preparing mansions and God's.
What did you say?
I thought he was preparing mansions for us.
Well, the word mansions is particularly unique to just the King James Version or versions of the Bible that are 1900 and before. Like, I think the ASV 1901 uses mansions. But it is the only time that that Greek word is translated mansions in the entire New Testament. It is abodes. I like in verse 23, Jesus says, the Father and I will come and make up our abode with you. Same Greek word. They just didn't translate it mansion. So, okay. All right. Well, that was good and light, huh? And next week, well, since we didn't talk much about chapter 18, you could do that on your own, I guess. Kind of compare it to the table. I guess, whet your appetite. Look at the commentary notes that are not in your commentary that I'm going to add to it tonight because I wrote some and we didn't get to them. But chapter 19, we're going to see Jesus coming out of heaven on a white horse. That'll be next week, God willing. And then we'll move on from there.
I have a quick question.
All right, one quick question.
It's very quick.
Yep.
In the book, I can't find chapters 17 and 18 in the book.
Yeah, the reason that it's not in the book, chapter 17 and 18, is because I referenced them so much in chapter 13. But knowing that that will be a question that I will continue to get every week of my life, I decided to get some notes. And so I've written some, and they'll be added on the next edition. All right, let's pray. Lord, we know we don't understand everything out of the book of Revelation, but it sure is neat discovering things. And so I will continue to be a glad student of yours. I hope that you'll continue to teach me. And I think I'm joined by lots of Bible students in the room that would love the same thing. So a lot of things that, frankly, we're just taking the best guess we have at it, Lord, until these things start unfolding, then we might be able to sound intelligent a little bit, maybe. But we do thank you that we're getting into some things here that culminate this old world that is full of the curse. And we look forward to restoration. Please bless our prayer groups. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're new to us tonight, if your deacon is in the room, you may go with them to a part of the building to pray. If your deacon is not in the room, either because they're absent tonight or you're not a member yet, hang out in here. We'll pray together.
Notice how I got it.